All right, let's back in from right here.
One of the things that we really want to talk about this morning and trust that God will speak to our hearts about is these two subjects, really, sort of a one-two punch to get us right in the heart. First of all, the importance of God's Word, and secondly, the inspiration of the Scriptures. You know why we really don't do all that we should in any area of life? It's not that we don't know how, and it's not that we don't understand a lot of the principles involved in the thing. It's lack of motivation. Really, you examine your life in any area and come up with a reason, the real reason why you don't do what you ought to do. You know it. You know you're not fulfilling all that you really ought to do or even want to. It's lack of motivation. And this is something that I want to share with you because you folks are the ones who have been around for some years and are the ones whom God is looking to be a blessing and to minister to people. And unless you have the proper motivation, I doubt very seriously that the people you help will have the proper motivation. Isn't it often true that we get people to doing things so often just because we're doing them, and we're doing them just because someone else is doing them, and they're doing it just because someone else is doing them? That isn't the right motive. And if you don't have any better motivation than that, what happens when you get away from those people that are doing that? Well, the first thing that happens is that you just quit. You know, without that pressure of the group or society, you can't go on alone. In fact, you can't even go on with another group that may be doing some of the same things. We need some rock-bed conviction and motivation for our Christian life. And I think these are the two areas most important in regard to the Word of God. All right, let's take some of your verses on the importance of God's Word. Let's start right here on the first row of fellows and give me your number one verse. The number one verse on the importance of the Word of God. Would you start with your name, Tim?
Yeah.
All right.
2 Timothy 2:15.
All right. I'll put it right up here. Would you read it, please? Have them ready.
Turn to God, ourselves, and turn from God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Okay. Any comment on that you want to make, Tim? Why is it so important then?
Well, this is an inspiration is also important.
Mm-hmm.
And in 5 weeks, we're going to study, you know, I know 7 years, but it's lovely.
Uh-huh.
And that's just, but to know that Christ is my inspiration to study.
Mm-hmm.
It's an important inspiration to me.
Good. Right. Next is Harold. Okay. Good. Okay. Kurt Seaman.
I have Matthew 4:4.
Why?
Why do you say that? The answer is written out, not by brother alone, but by the way we can do that on God.
Okay, why is it so important to you? Why does this really kill you?
This is the fact that
Okay. Our life depends on the Word of God for nourishment. Good. Roy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's switch over to the girls and let's take the middle row. Would you start, give us your number one verse on the importance of words. All right. Next. Yours is the same as her. What's your number two then? You have a number two?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next.
Second,
okay. That's up there too. All right. Marie? Okay. Words were found and I did eat them. So that once again, spiritual food, they became to me a joy and rejoicing in my heart. Not only food, but life and vigor. Good. Rosie, what's your number one? Okay, next. Doesn't mean much comment either, does it? Good. Next, what is your number one? Okay. Okay, good. Let me see that one again in a few minutes. And your number one? Okay, good. Now, does anyone else, we're not going to take time to go down every row, but does anyone else have just a burning verse on the importance of Scripture that you'd like to get in? All right? Good. Marvin, what was yours? Right. Okay. Two more. All right. Good. One more. Yeah? You? All right. Now we've had some real good verses here. Now if you like to add one or two of these to your list and that really help you to have some motivation as to the importance of the word, well, you do that. But I think the best thing for you to do is to take a little more time on this. Sometime during this week, come up with some other verses. We didn't take but 3 minutes, and you came up with some good ones. But take a little time and come up with 5 to 7 or 5 to 10 verses that really motivate you as to the importance of the Word of God. Oh, it will help you the rest of your Christian life. Now let's look at the second part. The inspiration of the Scriptures. And these two really are together, aren't they? Well, it's hard to separate them. We've already got one verse up here that talks about both. And yet, this comes under the head of motivation also. The inspiration of Scriptures. Because if God wrote them, that ought to motivate anybody, shouldn't it? All right, let's take the girls on the back row. See what are the people on the back row right there. So, okay. You want to start over here, Ruth?
Yes.
Good. How do we know that the scriptures are true? Because the Bible says so?
Mm-hmm.
He says it's true. But you know, this verse brings out something, doesn't it? It works. It does something. It produces change in any life that gives it a chance. It works. You know, that's the loudest argument I have for the inspiration and the importance and the value of the scriptures to the skeptic or to the Christian life. Friend, it works. It has worked in my life. It has worked in the lives of countless people. And it will work in your life too. And that's what this verse is talking about. It will work. Okay, second. Alright, it's right over here, but we'll put it in the third. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Good. All scripture is given by inspiration. God, profitable. Okay, third? Same one. Next. Okay, they examine them to see if they were so. That's good. All right, next. Okay, good. If you want to add that part of that to your list, 16:21, the whole passage there, study that thing and really let it soak into your soul, and you'll understand more about the inspiration of the scriptures. That's a key verse, along with some of these others mentioned here. Next. All right. Is yours up there too? All right. Now let's go down this middle row here, the fellas. Mark? Both of them. Okay. Next. Okay. See?
Well, I think one verse he brought to my mind is inspiration from all my personal science in 1990. The Lord Jesus says, Lord, come to me and sit quiet, and the people may be on and speak to you, and also believe in you forever.
Okay. Done.
Coupling with that verse in Jeremiah 1:12, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my words to perform.
Jeremiah 1:12. Good. He will make it come back. Mm-hmm. Okay, does anyone else have some that they'd like to share that would add to this? You notice this list over here is shorter, isn't it? We don't know as many verses on the inspiration of the scripture. I noticed this when we were doing an assignment earlier this summer with a group of fellows, that the same verses kept popping up. The guys didn't have quite as many verses on the inspiration of the scripture. Maybe we don't make as much of an issue in it in our lives as we ought. So let's get a few more here.
which in part are but mankind, spirit of Christ, who dwell in them between the thoughts, that testify beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it is revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they administer the things which are now reposed unto you, by them that have preached the gospel unto you, that the Holy Ghost has gone from heaven, which things the angels desire to do.
Good. All right, another one. Jim?
Psalm 16:11, the Lord knew the word and made his company in the open company.
That's good. The Lord gave the word, and many men published it. Great was the company. Good. Another one?
And as far as inspiration is, Romans 2:13 and also James 1:22, but he hears the word and not hear it only. James 1:22.
Oh. What was that, Romans?
Romans 2:13. How does that say that? For he has to hear it for the law, and he arises before God, but he hears the law, and he'll be justified.
Well, this point here was the inspiration coming from God. That point. I know this. You're talking about inspiration, especially to you, right? Or motivation. That's good. All right. Let's just leave it there. There, and I'd ask you also to consider at least this morning the possibility of really making a study out of it and coming up with verses that you feel really clearly indicate and convince and motivate you regarding the inspiration of the Scriptures. All right, from these two lists of verses, what could we say is the reason God gave us the Word of the Scriptures? I think from these two lists we can come up with a basic reason of why God gave us the Scriptures. Think about it a minute. Let's see what your thoughts are. What would be his first reason for giving us the Scriptures? Anyone?
No.
Okay, that's a good one. That we might know him. Good. How else?
This might be coupled with that, but growth and giving people else the opportunity to see the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Growth in, you mean 2 Peter 3:18? Grow in grace and knowledge.
Grow in grace and knowledge.
Okay. That's right. All right. So that we can put it that way. Someone else had a hand up. All right. I think we'll include it under him as God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, just to make that one reason that we'd know him. And according to John 17:3, to know him is to have eternal life, to know him aright. To know Jesus Christ, know who he is and what he's done for you, to accept that, come to know him personally, is to have eternal life. So I think here we can say, summarize it, that this is for salvation, this is for sanctification, or growth in him, and there's one other great area that the Scriptures were given to us, to accomplish or to bring about in our life. What would that be? All right, and that is service. That we may serve him or teach the Word of God to others. This is all summarized for you. If you like to just look at 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And those 3 points are brought out there in that passage. And let's just read them together quickly here. Paul writing to Timothy about the importance of the word, giving him some motivation, tells him in verse 15, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And this is the point of knowing him as your Savior, coming to have your trust, your faith in him, and therefore being saved. Secondly, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete or perfect or mature. And this is the area of sanctification, changing, transforming our lives to be like him, to become like Christ, sanctification. And then the third area, equipped for every good work, for service. And I think basically these are the main reasons why the Word of God was given to us. And so if we carry in our hearts this understanding of why God gave us His Word, we see that it really covers every area of our life. It is God's comprehensive equipment for making us saints, for making us servants, for making us sons. This is His Word. And so once again, here you have 3 other S's that you can add. Son, saint, and servant. All right, let's jump quickly. We don't have much time here, and we really have a big subject on the Word of God this morning. I wonder, how many of you have used the hand illustration 3 times in the past year? Would you, with another person or with a group or something? Would you raise your hand real high? Real high? I can't count very well. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 out of 35. What's the matter with the rest of you? Use it twice? Or once? Yeah? Okay. But you know it, right? We're going to go over it just a little bit this morning. The second question I have is, how many of you can draw a reasonably... well, let's say a reasonable likeness of the hand? Or does yours look like a claw or a baseball glove or what? I'd like to teach you this morning how to draw a hand. If you can't draw a hand that looks like a hand, probably that's one reason why you wouldn't draw it very often. But if you can learn the basic way to draw a hand, it's so simple and so easy. It's not a work of art, but it's recognizable as a hand. That's all we're asking, you know. So, on your paper there, draw a square. Just draw a square. If you want to keep it there, and in the old Navigator illustration, we used to have a Bible drawn out like this on the hand anyway, so it gives you a good excuse. But from this point right here, you start your thumb, and then from this point right here, you start your fingers, and there are 4. Most hands. This finger is the longest. But the idea in drawing a hand is to have the four fingers coming out of the same spot here. You know, one doesn't come way back up in here, and another one way out there, the way a lot of people draw them. They come from just about the same line here, and they follow the basic pattern of a square. So you practice it a few times. We were working with a bunch of fellows this past summer, and as they drew their hands, they'd draw like this. One guy came out with four fingers going through it. And they really looked funny. Some of them were pointed like that, and it's like bird's claw or something like that. Well, it takes practice. And if you will draw it five times like it should be drawn, I guarantee you, you'll remember it from then on, if you'll take the time to draw it. So let's do that. Let's learn to draw our hand right. And I believe this is one of the reasons why we're not using the hand illustration more than we should. All right, let's just ask the question, when should we use the hand illustration with another person? What are some of your ideas? When should we use the hand illustration? First week after we accept Christ? During the first year? What are your ideas?
Well, I think it would depend on how the person is growing. Because you should have a basic grasp of the word after salvation before he starts reaching out. And then when he shows interest in reaching out, then this is the word that he at least starts with.
Okay, that's a good point. It's not the same for every person. Depends on his growth and upon his stage in the Christian life as to when you would present it. But, you know, if a person is coming along at all in the Christian life, within the first 2 to 3 months, you ought to be giving him some real motivation and insight into how to use and how to grasp the Word of God with his whole hand. The old illustration of trying to hold a Bible with one finger is very graphic. And if you try two fingers, you can do it. But it helps to have all of them, doesn't it? And as you come up the hand, each finger is more sturdy and stronger than the other. But it's only when you have all five fingers really grasping the Word of God that you can say you really have it. And this is the illustration that carries over into the spiritual life. And let's just name these fingers quickly. What is the first one, huh?
Yes.
Second. What?
Three.
Third. Maureen? And the fourth, what's your name? Okay, is that all of them? There's no. What's the fifth? That's meditation. I think that this is the lost pearl of Christianity today. We live in such a hurried day. I wish we had the whole time to talk just about meditation. One of the richest and most useful ways of getting the Word of God into the heart, into the life. And that's why it is the sum. And in the presentation of the hand, you may like to go from the bottom up, just like I did. Or you might like to start with meditation and come down. I don't think the way that you present it is the most important part. But these five principles are important. And I would say that most of Christendom only concerns itself with these two. I think that would take in probably 90% of all the Christians you know. And probably 75% would only be in this category. So you see, we really have something to share here. Because the thing that we want to do with people is not show them a hand, but show them how to get each one of these fingers operating in their life. It's not the illustration that we're after. It is the principles 5 major principles about how to grasp the Word of God. Now, if you're not sharing these with people, something's wrong. You ought to be sharing this hand illustration with young Christians. Because if they're only getting these two from the churches or wherever they're going, they're missing out on the most effective way to get the Word of God into the life. These bottom two down here are the least effective of all the hands. You forget over 80% of what you read, 90% of what you hear, 90 to 100. And not show them a hand, but show them how to get each one of these fingers operating in their life. It's not the illustration that we're after. It is the principles, 5 major principles about how to grasp the Word of God. Now, if you're not sharing these with people, something's wrong. You ought to be sharing this hand illustration with young Christians. Because if they're only getting these two from the churches or wherever they're going, they're missing out on the most effective way to get the Word of God into the life. These bottom two down here are the least effective of all the hands. You forget over 80% of what you read, 90% of what you hear, 90 to 100. And it's only if you get into the area of study, memorization, and meditation that you begin to remember it all, the things that you're getting out of this Word. So you see, we have something very important to share. Something that is so needed in the church today that we ought to be preaching this hand thing all the time to every person that we can. That is, when they come to the place where they can start to putting these things into practice in their life, then share it with them. And Carolyn's point about not doing it too soon is well taken. You see, if they're not able to start studying yet, they don't even have the motivation, don't have a desire, why show them the hand? But if he wants to study, if she wants to memorize, if he wants to begin to meditate on the Word of God, let's get them not only familiar with the hand illustration, but with each principle working in their lives. And this, by the way, is a good check sheet for yourself, with a person that you're working with. Is he hearing the Word of God regularly? Is he or she reading it regularly, daily? Is he or she studying it? Are they memorizing it? And are they meditating on it? And we ought to check ourselves always on that. Okay, the two fingers here that are really on our hearts to emphasize here this morning are study and memorize. And we don't have time. Our time has run out. So I trust that in the discussion groups, you'll get the chance to really chew these over. The importance of Scripture memory. The importance of studying the Word of God. And if you would like to be thinking about some advantages and some disadvantages of both of those to discuss during your discussion group time, I think it would really help. The two points that we stress so much in the now are study and memorize, simply because the rest of Christianity is forgetting, is overlooking them, neglected them, along with meditation, which we won't have time to go in to this morning. But let me ask you this question. Which is your weakest finger? Did you think about that? Don't tell me out loud. But think about it for yourself. What one of these 5 principles is the weakest in your life. Then think about, what am I going to do to strengthen it? Do something this week. Talk to somebody. Get around the table and say, hey, how do you meditate on the Word? Or, what plan of memory do you use? I'm having a rough time in this area or that area. Share something with me. Work on it this week. That's why we're here. Really. To work on all these areas in our lives. But let's work on the one that really needs help. And before you leave here, come up with a plan for continuing this year in this thing that you started, strengthening the hand in your life, especially whatever you consider to be the greatest need. Well, Jim, we've run over 5 minutes, so we'll have to quit.